live from Providence, Rhode Island, in the Minute with Mary studio. Welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film universe of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and time turners. Let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. Everybody, and welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake.
Sure is.
And there is no way I'd be making a Dumbledore's army. Wouldn't happen.
Meaning you wouldn't be naming it Dumbledore's army, or you wouldn't be creating a group that would be fighting against the Dark Arts?
No, I wouldn't do it, because it'd be like one of those things that I gotta read the room here. I gotta read the room.
Okay.
And I gotta know who's in power. And I know that it's Dolores. Mm-hmm. And I'm totally going the Malfoy route. Absolutely. There is no way I'm just being like, yeah. I mean, like, I'm very much one of those people that's like kind of, who cares about what the man says. But at this point, in the whole book, I'm reading the room. So that's all. That's all I'm going to say about that.
I mean, you're just being your typical Slytherin self, ready? Like, perseverance,
yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
Just protecting yourself, not worrying about other people.
Nope.
But maybe would you be secretly trying to study some of this stuff?
Yeah, oh, yeah. I mean, if I thought it was best for me, then I would do it. But I wouldn't be like, let's make a group so I can teach everybody. Like, I don't care.
Oh my gosh. Whereas he's talking to me, his wife, who's the complete opposite.
No!
I'm just like, is there any way I can make a group out of any situation that I'm in? Please and thank you. If something that I love and am interested in does not already currently exist, I will headline that group.
Goodbye.
For sure.
Bye.
Like, I created an acapella group at my university because there was no acapella group.
Yes.
And we named it After Hours because we would meet late at night, and we'd sneak into music rooms because I used to know how to pick the locks to get into the extra.
Sneak to do, yes, acapella?
Yes. Okay, so there are like these two these two piano rooms that you,
guys,
that were always
break
locked.
The rules and go sing.
And they were giant rooms.
Footloose?
Yeah, and they were giant rooms that like regular music majors weren't allowed to use because they had double pianos, and they were only supposed to be for piano students, but I knew how to pick the lock with my card.
Oh.
So I would meet in there and I could fit all 8 of my a cappella members, but we would have to meet late so nobody saw us, so we called ourselves After Hours.
You're such a dork.
Yep. And then surprisingly, the group didn't continue on after I graduated.
Yeah, I wonder why.
We had a fun few years, though.
Oh,
a fun few years. Just like
goodness.
Dumbledore's army probably doesn't continue on after Potter.
Oh.
After everything. Everyone becomes part of Dumbledore's army. Well, we are so excited.
Oh,
you know, whether or not you would have headlined this group, or you would have been a member, maybe someone casual who would visit, or if you would have been like Blake and just kind of sit this one out.
Yep. Know let you do you.
There are no Slytherins in Dumbledore's army.
I totally would have been Aaron Burr. Just like, you know, like from
Hamilton.
From Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Just like, I'm going to let you guys talk and do all you. I'm going to wait. We're going to see what happens. We're going to see how all this shakes out.
Yeah. You do you, Blake. You do you.
I love that.
All right. So this chapter, of course, is chapter 18, titled Dumbledore's Army. Friends who are watching live, let us know. Would you have been a part of it, or would you have waited on the sidelines with Blake as well to see how it goes? And the quote that we're going to do. Right, said Harry when she sat down again. Shall we get practicing then? I was thinking. The first thing we should do is Expelliarmus. You know, the disarming charm. I know it's pretty basic, but I found it really useful. Oh, please, said Zacharias Smith, rolling his eyes and folding his arms. I don't think Expelliarmus is exactly going to help us against you-know-who, do you? I've used it against him, said Harry quietly. It saved my life last June. Smith opened his mouth stupidly. The rest of the room was very quiet. But if you think it's beneath you, you can leave, Harry said. Smith did not move, nor did anybody else. Snap.
That's totally Mary right there. If you don't think it works, go ahead and leave. Door works both ways. Goes in and out.
Yes. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh.
Yeah, that's why I chose that one, because I was like, oh, you're gonna come at me? Thinking this spell isn't worthy?
Mm-mm-mm. Oh,
nope.
Man.
It's my favorite spell, first and foremost, and I used it on Voldemort last summer. So you're welcome. This may save your life too, Zacharias Smith. All right. So on that note,
ready
let's
get
into
the show?
The show.
All right, let's do it.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
Yeah, as I said earlier, this is the chapter 18. Little recap for you with what happens in this episode. Harry has more dreams of that corridor with the door at the end. Dobby is this beautiful, sweet little hat, sock upon sock upon sock upon sock elf, who tells Harry about the Room of Requirement where Dumbledore's army can meet. And of course, the Dumbledore's army meets for the first time, has their first practice session, and gets named Dumbledore's Army thanks to the brilliance of one Ginny Weasley.
Yes, that's that. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Ginny. All right, Marvin. What do you think here? Where do you want to begin with all of this? I mean, like, I know we kind of joked about how I would never do the Dumbledore's army thing. And I definitely would not have. I think one of the things that surprises me is that this is actually a chapter that I thought would be a lot bigger. Mm-hmm. But it's really not. It's actually, in context, it's quite small. There's stuff that happens. But
you think this chapter's small?
Yeah, I do. I do.
I think it's pretty. I mean, it's a 22-page chapter.
Well, in context, like in my book, it's only like 5 or 6 pages.
Oh, well, your book is different.
I know, but I'm just saying in context, because like there are other chapters that are like way longer than this one.
Okay.
And I was just like, wow, like I thought this would be a lot bigger. I don't know. Just that's just me. I don't know. So where do you want to begin with this?
At the very beginning, it's a very good place to start.
Very good place to start.
I need to educate you on all things Sound of Music.
It's the worst.
My goodness gracious.
It's the worst.
So once again, I know we said it in the last episode, but the first book, pages-wise, was already done by now. We are up to page 374, mm-hmm. and it is only Wednesday, October 8th or 9th.
That's crazy. And I know you said this last episode, Mary. Like, where we are in the book physically, we would have finished.
It is not Halloween yet.
The Sorcerer's Stone.
It is not Christmas yet. They haven't even played their first Quidditch game. And we are chapter 18, page 374. But we needed all of this.
Yes.
Because, you know, we don't really spend too much time with Harry over the summer. But Cedric just died. And we need to fully understand the emotional bandwidth and place of where Harry is right now. We also need to understand where the ministry's at and our loathing of Professor Umbridge and how really curious the situation is, where even adults like McGonagall are teetering when they're around Umbridge. So I think that we need all of this information, but I think it is a riot that we are this far into the book, which would have been longer than the Sorcerer's Stone, and they haven't even played Quidditch.
Right, right. And, you know, I think that one of the conversations that we repeatedly have for this book, and I think this book in particular, is the differences between the films and the book. Mm-hmm. And I think, Mary, there are two things that happen in this book. One of them the book does better at, and then one of them the films do better at. And we talked about this actually while you were falling asleep one day, and I'm not sure if you remember.
Probably not. But Sleeping Mary comes up with some nuggets of.
Oh man, Sleeping Mary, Sleeping Mary comes up with stuff that is like bad LSD trips. Yep. That's what that is. So, Mary, I think.
So what did I say in my sleep, Blake?
Poignant. We were discussing it, let's talk about the first thing I think that this book does better than the films. And there is this moment where Peeves is actually over the kids as they're talking about the plans for Dumbledore's army, and they're discussing it and they're figuring it out, and he's throwing ink pellets over them.
The worst, yes.
And they have to like hold their bags above their heads, and you know, Peeves is floating over them, and then like just casually putting the bags down when he mm-hmm. when he moves away. I really like this visual because this gives you the wee Hogwarts feel that you kind of still want, even though we've pretty much graduated away from that in terms of these books. I wish that something like this was included in the film.
To add that whimsy. I feel like that's what... I felt like that's what the flying on the broomsticks was.
Okay.
A bit of that whimsy.
Yeah, but there are...
But I appreciate what you're saying in regards to school.
Yeah.
And it's difficult because they've been at school now and this is their fifth year. So sure. There's not tons that's going to be new for them or kind of that magical wow factor.
Yeah.
We get that when they go to Hogsmeade, you know, his first time. And but I appreciate what you're saying where it's like there's still little things about Hogwarts that can... keep you on your toes, that can add that little magic.
Well, that's where I think the author gets it right, because there are things that happen at Hogwarts that simply cannot happen anywhere else, right? And this whole scene with Peeves throwing the ink pellets, that's one of them. You can't take this scene and put it in School Ties, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just, you can't do it. And you can't take a scene in School Ties and put it in Harry Potter. It just doesn't translate, right? And for those of you younger listeners, you will have no clue what School Ties is.
Just nod your head.
Just say, yes, sure, okay,
yes,
School Ties.
Yes, old person, Blake.
I know. But for you older listeners, you'll remember Brendan Fraser and Matt Damon and the
older,
whole thing.
We're just well-seasoned.
Yes, that's
well-marinated.
Right.
Well-marinated.
And I think that the author gets this right, because there are certain characteristics that just can't happen anywhere else. And I like the fact, and I wish the fact that the films still kept this, because it's so uniquely wee Hogwarts. And even though this is my favorite film, even though I still need a little bit of that magic.
We've got some friends joining us live. We've got Rachel and we've got Angela. Angela, who's reading this book for the first time, and she's now almost done with this book and who is loving it.
Oh, okay.
Rachel, who says that this is one of her favorite books because of these reasons. And so I hear you, Blake. You know, yes, this book is thick. It's got a lot in it so far in these 374 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that we're still able to have that whimsy.
Yeah.
Even if it's through Peeves.
But I will say this, the film does better in one area of this chapter than the book does. And maybe we could start there, Mary. What the film does better is that it has Neville discover the Room of Requirement.
Oh, see, I disagree.
And I love the fact that, number one, it's Neville who does it, because he's so worried, and he's like,
this is what we were talking about as I was falling asleep. Yes. And I was fighting for Dobby.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So Dobby, for those of you who don't know, is one of my top three favorite characters of the series. It's Hagrid, Hedwig, and Dobby.
Wizard, Harry.
And I think that the author's obviously able to delve into Spew, love it or, you know, hate it or leave it. Or both, that's the
take
same thing.
It.
Take it or leave it.
There
thank you.
You.
Take it or leave it, Spew. And having Dobby come
leave
through
it, by the way. Always
come throughout these series.
Always leave Spew.
I think it makes it so much more impactful with what ends up happening with Dobby's fate. And the reason that truly
totally
he wanted to be there for Harry. So I love that Dobby not only knows about the Room of Requirement, but understands how to make it open. The Room of Requirement has to be walked by three times, and you have to be very clear with what you're looking for. Now, Dumbledore brought this up in the last book, but nobody really knew what was going on.
Sure.
And other people, you know, Fred and George talk about how they were here hiding from Filch one time. And I love Neville, but to me, I don't think he could have figured this out, that, oh, I have to walk by it three times. Whereas Dobby, the house elf, who really knows the inner workings of this magical castle, would know this, of course.
Yeah.
So I think that it's fitting. I also love that Dobby is the one coming around. Granted, Spew is not portrayed in the movies, and
thank
I'm going to bring you back, Blake. Books are the books and show is the show.
Yes.
So we're going to stick with that.
Yes.
But I love that Dobby gets to have this one-on-one time, because Harry is so alone. Hagrid is not here for this school year.
Mm-hmm.
And Sirius now really shouldn't be coming back through the flu network. And aside from the trio, Harry doesn't have any. Dumbledore is ignoring him. And so I love that he still has Dobby. He has Dobby and he has Hedwig.
Yeah, but here's what I'll say on that, too. continuing the idea of isolation for Harry, mm-hmm. I think it's better that he doesn't have Dobby.
Well, someone has to find the room.
Yeah, and I think that's why it's Dobby brilliant that it's Neville. Of all people, it's Neville.
In the movie, but we're book is book, show is show.
But that's why I'm saying I think the film does this better than the book. Because Harry is not, if we're going to compare it to the book, Harry thematically is not supposed to have anybody. He's not. He's supposed to be isolated. That's what's supposed to be driving his momentum as a character. And then for Dobby to just step in intentionally and be like, "I'm going to save the day. Here's the room of requirement." I find that to be lacking. I think that's a cop-out.
I don't think it's lacking. I think it's lovely that he still has glimmers of hope, because Harry's not gloom and doom all the time, especially in this chapter, because Cho tells him she was distracted by his presence. So we need to keep in mind that this is a 15-year-old boy, mm-hmm. who doesn't completely see the world as a glass half empty, that there are glimmers of happiness, and Dumbledore's army is, I think, that big shift for him, right? And we all have that, where it's like the no good, terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day, where you're just getting everything smacked in your face. Mm. And I think Dumbledore's army is what changes the direction for Harry in this book. He's able to use his skills and his background for good, and things are just kind of on an upward swing for him for at least part of this book until things go downhill.
and Casey here on Facebook says, "I love the magic of the Room of Requirement." And that's also kind of why I like Neville discovering it in the film, because it's almost accident. Well, it is. It's accidental, and it is. It's more that Hogwarts. I actually have, I think, a valid point here.
I know, but you're just such a stickler for book is book, show is show.
I know. I'm just saying. But this podcast is discussing the book and the film. So like, I love, and I also said too, I love that the book does the thing with Peeves. But at the same time, I like the fact that it's Hogwarts that reveals the Room of Requirement to Neville, as opposed to Dobby revealing the Room of Requirement to Harry. It's almost like Hogwarts is, they even say it in the film, it's almost like Hogwarts wants to help us. And I just like that. Throughout this podcast, we've looked at Hogwarts as like this entity of its own.
Just like how we talk about how Outlander is its own character. Hogwarts is its own character.
Well, yeah, Scotland is its own character.
Oh, so, yeah, sorry.
That's okay. I got you.
You know what I mean? Scotland. I love your point.
Sorry, what?
Oh, no, I love your point.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Maybe that makes you stop talking about it.
Oh, my God. All right, Mary. Fine. Go ahead. It's your podcast now.
We should make you like an I Love Neville shirt. You're so proud of him.
Oh. No problem. Go ahead now. It's your podcast.
No, it's not.
You know what? Hold on. I'm just going to put you.
Fun fact. What?
I'm just going to put
fun
you right on the
camera.
I'm not even going to have a camera on me anymore. There's no point.
This book was originally named Dumbledore's Army. Harry Potter and Dumbledore's Army.
Really? Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yep. And then it got changed. So I just think that that's a really fun thing. We do get some of the extra whimsy that you were talking about, the Wee Hogwarts in class, mm-hmm. when they're doing the charms of Silencio.
Yes.
And Ron just he's just not the greatest at charms. And he cannot make his frog, or no, at first it was the raven. He can't make his raven be quiet.
Yeah.
And he's saying, "Ravens are harder than frogs." Fine, let's swap, says Hermione, and she swaps it, and still he can't make it quiet. They get all of this extra homework, of course, and then they get their word that Quidditch is back on. You okay?
Yeah, no, so my computer's like freaking out, but we're okay.
Okay.
It's fine.
Then they get the word that Quidditch is back. So being an athlete in school yourself, my love, mm-hmm. how would this have made you feel?
I would have been pumped. I would be ready to go. I'd be like, "Yep, let's go. I'm in on let's play Quidditch or whatever it is that I'm playing, you know, for that." I think that it's probably one of the only things I would have cared about, and not worrying about any of the other crap. Like, it's just like, okay, Umbridge is getting on everybody. That's great for her. I just want to play Quidditch. Mm-hmm. Let me just do that. and I'll be fine. So that's how I would have felt about that.
And it's terrible. It's terrible weather when they do get out there and he has to do the sloth roll technique and they get to use the special charm that keeps the water off of their goggles so they can try to see. And I love when we get to be out in the Highlands weather because, of course, Scotland is depicted in the Scottish Highlands, which for our patrons at jointhenerdclan.com.
Oh, shameless plug.
Those of you who are at the level that you are able to get a holiday gift, Blake actually drew a beautiful picture of the Scottish Highlands with Hogwarts in the background. Yep. And Claire from Outlander in her beautiful coat looking out over the Highlands. So great job, Blake.
Aw, thanks.
And I love when the author is able to depict the crazy weather that they have there, as it does rain a lot. It is muddy, and that doesn't necessarily stop people from going out. I think here, at least where we live in America, we do still have mixed weather, but a lot of times people are like, oh, it's raining, it's misting, it's foggy, like, let's stay in. And for people who that is the weather more often than not, you got to suck it up, buttercup, and you got to go, and you got to fly, and you have to see how you fare. And you need to also practice in those kind of conditions because, as we know from their game, when they played Hufflepuff, they still play in those kind of conditions, which sounds wretched if you're someone watching in the stands. That's the day where you're like, I will watch the recap.
No, we're all set,
watch
man.
This from home.
We're all set. I remember I went to one of the Patriots games before I met you, and they were playing in the playoffs against the Titans. And it was like the coldest day ever recorded for a Patriots game.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
It was like minus five or whatever it was. And I was sitting in the nosebleeds. It was torture. Like, it was monstrous, the kind of elements that we had to endure to watch the Patriots. They won. They won. That's okay. I'll take it. They were playing Steve McNair. I'll never forget that. Aww. The year that he won the MVP. And they won. It was 2003? 2003, I think.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's okay. It's all right.
It's all
right. I got you.
But while they're having this practice and the elements are crazy, Harry has the most mind-splitting pain than he's had in a very, very long time.
Yes.
So much so that he kind of like yelps out. And Ron, of course, knows what's going on. And he gives Ron this look and he knows, like, let's chat Voldy. And Ron gets excited for a moment because he says, you can read Voldemort's mind.
Yeah.
This is huge. You should take over Trelawney's job. This is amazing. You know what's going on because Harry's able to kind of pull from this a feeling. Mm-hmm. And he's able then to deduce that when he was with Umbridge and he had a similar experience, that feeling was more of joy and that this one is anger.
I love that Harry can make sense of the feelings and he can say he needs something done faster. Because I think it works on multiple levels. One, it continues to isolate Harry, as we've talked about throughout this whole book so far. The author has done a masterful job at making Harry alone, making him feel alone, literally and figuratively. But also, it helps at the same time connect Harry to Voldemort, a connection that he doesn't want, that isn't necessarily helpful, and isn't really beneficial emotionally for Harry. It just makes him feel my sense of it is that it makes him feel like he has the Scarlet Letter a little bit, if you know what I mean. Like, it feels like dirty almost. Like, oh God, this is not good for me. I don't like this. You know, it's like it's like when you see like a big thing of candy and you're like, I gotta have it, and you eat it, and then 5 minutes later you wake up from your sugar haze and it wrappers all over you and you're like, oh, that was a great idea.
You know, I love that you're equating this to candy. It goes to show you like how blessed you are that you haven't had like lifelong anxiety or depression.
Well, I was trying to keep it light for the kids.
No, I appreciate, but like, it makes me think of, because you've recently been having bouts with anxiety over the past handful of years. Well, but you know what I mean? Like, it hasn't been something lifelong. And to me, this kind of reeked of anxiety outbursts when you're in a completely safe, beautiful, happy space. And then you have that day where you wake up and you're just anxious and you don't know why.
Yeah.
And you can't figure it out. You can't figure out what a source is. Or another one could be depression. I was just saying to you, oh man, out here I am saying, like, you know, the people in the Highlands are so hardy because they can put up with the crappy weather. It has been cloudy and disgusting here in Rhode Island for probably the past 2 weeks.
Yep.
And I was telling Blake, I said, I've been starting to feel blue, and I think it might be a bit of seasonal depression. I've been known to have it throughout my life, and it usually starts more February. So if it's starting now, this is a little earlier than I would have liked personally. I could use some snow. That always helps. But I say this because if you suffer from, say, anxiety or depression or something, of the likes, it's so difficult when you're having a great day or you're totally fine and yet something inside of you feels off and you can't figure it out. And you sit there, you get upset because you're like, why am I sad? Everything in my life is great. Nothing in my life right now should be making me feel sad, and yet I am. And so that's what I feel when Harry's saying this. You know, he's playing Quidditch with his friends. Yes, he's cold. Mm-hmm. Yes, he's wet. But Quidditch is something that he lives for. It's one of the things that makes him the happiest. So he's probably, you know, toweling off on this beautiful high of enjoyment. And then he feels anger run through his veins and his body, and how foreign that must be.
That's great.
And then he's able to deduce how different this was from the previous one, where it was butterfly joy, you know? So it just, that's how I agree with you, Blake, how just having, whether it's eating a bowl of candy and not necessarily being proud of that choice afterwards because then you feel sick, or having these feelings of yours that may not necessarily have a proper source that you can deduce.
Yeah. And I think that this is also another way that the author is telling you that this connection is, it's more than just like it's more than just a commonality, right? We're building towards something. As a reader or as a viewer, you have to recognize that when a connection like this is introduced in your story, something is going to happen as a result of it. You know, you can't, you know, we talk about Chekhov's gun all the time, right? Like, you can't introduce a gun in the first act and then not have it go off in the third. Mm-hmm. I almost also kind of liken it to the connection that Rey and Kylo Ren share.
Ooh.
Where in The Last Jedi, you know, obviously, you know, spoiler alert, it's being facilitated by, what the hell's his name?
The Emperor?
No, not the Emperor. The,
The Force?
No, not, yes, the Force, but, what the hell?
Dyad?
Well, they are a dyad.
Yes.
What the hell is, what's his name's Snoke. It's being facilitated by Snoke.
Snoke was the Emperor.
Yeah, I know, but Snoke was his own being.
He was a puppet, he said.
Yes, correct. Anyway, what I'm saying is,
listen, you're not sounding very strong in the Force right now.
No, I'm not. What I'm saying is this. That relationship is started in The Last Jedi. At points...
Land the plane, Helen.
Thanks, Mary. At some points, it is introduced to you, and they are unaware or unable to control it. But by the end of The Rise of Skywalker, there is a payoff for that relationship when she's able to pass the lightsaber to him, and then they're able to fight the Emperor. Hashtag spoilers. So it's important that we have these kind of relationships and they pay off in the end. Like, you have to deduce the fact that something is going to come out of this. Mm. So that's what I like.
And this all brings up the memories that Harry had in the beginning of the semester when they were still at Grimwald Place, overhearing the plans. If he's got plans he could put into operation very quickly. Indeed, stuff he can only get by stealth, like a weapon, something he didn't have last time.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's really starting to, you know, put some pieces together, but still it's very, very, very vague. Mm-hmm. And Harry has to juggle this newfound kind of insight into mm-hmm. what Voldemort's feeling in the midst of being a regular student, in the midst of having to catch up on Snape's extra work and Quidditch and people looking up to him for Dumbledore's army. And that's a lot. That would be a lot for any individual to have to deal with.
Sure. Yeah.
nonetheless, a 15-year-old. So he's then up late and he bumps into Dobby. And I know this wasn't a favorite of yours, but that point is now dead.
The only thing I like about this is that Dobby is there saying, tell Hermione to stop doing this. It's getting everybody angry. Stop putting clothes everywhere.
Well, Dobby comes because he's returning Hedwig, and Hedwig is very happy to be back in the lovely arms of Harry, taking care of her, of course. We get a little update on Winky, which I know you don't enjoy Winky either, so we'll move on from there. And this is how the Room of Requirement gets to be known, with some great understanding and story. And I think that this is a safe person that Harry can bounce around this idea with, someone who really knows the school, and he doesn't have to fear will rat on him. Mm-hmm. I think that's another thing, you know. We always have to be concerned with other students, and we're going to see that even later on in this book about who you can trust. And I think that Dobby is an ongoing safe person for Harry to be able to bounce these ideas off with.
Sure, sure.
That he knows no matter what, he's Team Harry. They're thick and thin. You're welcome, Blake.
I know. Hey, how about Hermione kind of doubting Dumbledore's army now? Being like, I don't know if we should be doing this.
And she says she doubts it because Sirius thought it was a good idea.
Right. And this girl was all about the DA until Sirius steps in.
It was her idea.
I know. And then all of a sudden Sirius steps in and says, hey, that's a great idea. And she's like, yeah, no, we're not doing that. Why? Why do you think she's doing that?
I think that Hermione is realizing that potentially this could be slightly reckless, and knowing the fate that Sirius now has, being locked up in Grimwald Place and alone and only being able to maybe speak through a fireplace, if he's thinking this is a great idea, it does... You do want to evaluate a little bit more. I think that Hermione is someone who truly likes to think things through before taking a big leap. And she took a big leap by bringing up the DA as an idea. And now it's her backpedaling, saying, oh, before we actually get it started, let's make sure this is a solid choice. Now, of course, she's got the boys saying, too late. Too late, sweetheart. Like, you already invited everybody to it. We're already into it.
Can't put the toothpaste back into the bottle.
That is so gross. It's so true. Especially for us who, you know, we have an 8 and 10 year old. How do they squirt so much toothpaste all over the place?
Oh my God. Like, it's...
Get it on the brush.
It's like a whole, like, if you put four quarters side by side or like in a square, that's that much toothpaste.
Just on the counter.
All over the counter.
Like, how was this Hermione's favorite scent? Obviously, she was an only child who didn't have to deal with toothpaste being left all over the sink.
I'm kind of out on Hermione in this whole thing with her.
When are you ever in with Hermione?
No. I like Hermione a lot. If this was JFF, now I'm always out on JFF because he sucks. But I'm kind of out on Hermione in this choice because, number one, it was her idea. Number two, it's almost like she's incapable of making the distinction between, like, the necessity of it, the necessity of Dumbledore's army, at least according to the, through the lens of the kids and what they're trying to learn as self-defense, but also what she interprets as Sirius's, let's call it, you know, stick it to the man attitude.
Well, think about it. When she first came up with the idea, it wasn't against any educational decrees. They could easily meet in Hogsmeade. They figured, okay, let's see how many people are interested. We'll figure this all out. Then it became a big no and potentially expulsion. So when she first brought it up,
expelled.
Exactly. Okay, when she first brought it up, it was brilliant, but also there was nothing to be necessarily afraid of, aside from like, ooh, we're doing something slightly naughty. Now this is very clear cut, against the rules. You could be getting into serious issues, and we all know that Hermione cares about her schooling and her grades more than she even does her life. Mm-hmm. So now that there are these massive things to be concerned about, and that they were having a difficult time even finding a place, I think that it was a realistic conversation for her to bring up. Hey, guys, is this actually going to happen? Should we really be seeing this through? Now, mind you, when they find the Room of Requirement and they go inside and they see all of the different things, Hermione's all the way back in. Now that she knows that there is a safe place to meet. But I think she was just being realistic. Okay? There's nowhere to meet. Now it's a serious offense if we get caught doing this. You've got all these people excited. Who knows what's going to happen? But now that they have found a safe place, she changes her tune back to being, all right, I'm all in.
Sure. What do you think about the paper trail of Dumbledore's army and the fact that they're like memorializing it, like for real? That to me is not a smart choice. That's something that now knowing the rule, now knowing the consequences of what you're doing.
That you're going to have pimples all over you?
Well, yeah, but like just the idea of having this paper.
Oh, okay.
And having proof that there is a thing and they're calling it Dumbledore's army of all things. My feeling is we should get rid of that. But there's no instinctual
I think it's just
push.
They're on such a high of pride and excitement that they kind of ignore that, by the way, said. Because once again, she does put that jinx where if anyone does snitch, that they'll have all the boils.
Sure.
So I think that in that moment, they thought that would be enough.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
They're 15.
Yeah. Good point. You know, good point.
Let's just let's keep that forward momentum going and stop listening to the little devil on our shoulder telling us why we shouldn't do something.
Yeah.
So, of course, they meet and they get all their friends there. They get all the Ravenclaws, the Hufflepuffs, the Gryffindors who signed on up, and they start practicing. They start, of course, with Expelliarmus. Cho gets all frazzled and is excited by being around Harry. Neville, your new favorite person, gets to practice with Harry because nobody wants to practice with Neville.
Oh, poor Neville.
And what I love about this, though, is that, let's be real, if you only practice with the coach, if you only do group projects with the teacher, do you ever fail?
No.
Do you get wicked good?
Yeah.
Yeah. So this is probably for the best case for Neville, because if he was with someone who wasn't that good, he probably wouldn't have really become as strong as we need him to be later on in this book when he goes to help with Dumbledore.
And I love this moment, too, that he has with Harry where he's like, I did it. I finally did it. And Harry's like, yeah, that's great. But I just want to let you know that your opponent's probably always going to be paying attention to you. And I really wasn't. Internally, he's thinking that, right?
Yeah.
That's a great moment. For both characters, Neville finds a little bit of confidence, and Harry says, "I can hold back on that. Mm-hmm. Let the kid have the W."
Yeah,
I think that's great.
Harry walks around, and Zachariah Smith is being picked on by Fred and George, he's doing his jinxes. He's trying to do his Expelliarmus, but Fred and George are behind him, making him lose his wand.
Yeah.
And he had no idea what was going on. And George says, sorry, we couldn't resist. So I love that, like, they're picking on this guy, just having a blast in the way that Fred and George would be doing. And then, as I said, Cho kind of gets all sorts of nervous around her. Luna Lovegood speaks up in saying that her father is very supportive of any anti-ministry action. He's saying he'll always believe. So I like that they start to kind of get into these conversations of, you know, who, like Joe starts to talk about it. Mm-hmm. And she says after what happened with Cedric. So the kids are having this conversation that's needed to have happened at this point.
I'm very much that kind of person that is like, stick it to the man. Mm-hmm. You know, like, yes, let's rebel. Let's, you know, make sure that your voice is heard. Please, like, do all of that. You are entitled to that. You are entitled to question everybody. You are entitled to question the government. You should, right? At all times. That doesn't mean, you know, like, I'm going to do it personally. Like, I have the right to, and it's good to think about it. I'm probably never going to do it until I see how it's all going to turn out. But I like the fact that there are these different that the book, I think, is showing different kinds of rebellion. And this, I think, is a little bit more proactive a rebellion. But when you talk about Luna's father or, you know, something of that ilk where it's or even Sirius, who says, oh yeah, this is a great idea. You guys should totally do that. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm going to be over here, but you guys go do that. And the same thing with Luna's father here. I think it's important to do that. It's for all of our listeners, especially the younger listeners, learn to question what is around you. Learn to question what people on TV or on the internet or Mary and I, what they say to you and how they present it, because you need it. You need to do it. How you act on it is what I think changes from level to level. But it's important that we always do that. And it's important to have groups like Dumbledore's Army.
It is.
It is. Absolutely is. I ain't going
to
do it.
And they're so excited to be meeting that they want to meet even more. Of course, making room for Quidditch coming on up. And they pick Wednesday night, so a week from then. And Harry says goodbye and he uses the Marauder's Map. The Marauder's Map is used twice in this chapter.
Yep.
And we have our copy of the Marauder's Map here with us in the studio. It's one of my favorite magical bits. You were talking earlier in this podcast episode about the whimsy and the magic that really happens in Hogwarts. And I love that Harry is still able to utilize such an incredible tool. And that is another thing that I think the movies did exceptionally well. Reading about it was so fun, but then really being able to kind of see how other people visualized this magical moving map.
Yeah.
Is brilliant. So he's able to make sure that everybody gets home safely.
I was on Instagram or something, and I just happened to be watching a reel, and somebody was like, you know, I just want to talk about this. For years, George and Fred opened the Marauder's Map and saw Ron sleeping with a man named Peter Pettigrew and didn't say anything. Yep. Makes me laugh thinking about that.
I mean, truthfully, they probably just were never looking for Ron, but yes.
Yes, no, I know. It just makes me laugh. And then the last thing I do want to bring up, Mary, is that little final bit between Harry and Cho, where Cho's like, oh, what do you think about this? And he's like, oh, that's great. Actually, no, that was terrible. But, you know, we'll keep working on it.
Like, yeah.
It's such a nervous little, like, interaction that you could totally imagine these types of kids having.
Mm-hmm.
And it works so well with the characterization for both he and Cho.
I love it.
Love it. All right. Got anything else you want to talk about?
No.
Are you ready for your different perspective?
I am.
All right. Let's do it.
Holy cricket. You're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
Dobby the house elf, sir.
Dobby!
I heard you were talking smack anyway, so it's me.
What's
That's why Mary picked me.
That's what's going. You know, Dobby, I feel like you're kind of useless in the chat.
Oh my goodness!
In fact, I would argue.
Am I going to need to leave?
That you take away from the story.
Not only
chapter.
Am I so important to Harry Potter, but he named his group after me, the DA, Dobby's Army. Dobby's Army, isn't that,
you know,
so great? The magnificent Harry Potter.
I don't think that's how it went.
I am so happy I was able to help him. If it weren't for me.
You know, there was a guy named Dumbledore.
He wouldn't be able to have found the Room of Requirement.
Yeah.
And all of his friends, all of Harry Potter's friends, now they get to practice. And I will go and I will pick up all those pillows and I will clean up after them every time because Dobby's a good house elf.
What do you think about Hermione leaving all them clothes? I feel like that's, you know, a little bit of an insult.
I have a bad circulation in my, in my feet and in my hands. And it is amazing. I love it. I wear different ones different days of the week. Dobby's very happy. Very happy, sir. End scene. How could I not pick Dobby after you hated on him?
I have bad circulation. In a Mary and Blake media first, I lost my headphones laughing so hard.
You're Harry Potter.
Oh man.
You're welcome. The end.
Oh, I think I actually broke my headphones. Hold on. Let's see if I can fix it. Hold on.
We also had an email come in, my love.
Yep, absolutely broke my headphones.
That's okay.
Oh, there we go. I fixed it. Okay, good.
Did you see the email that we had?
Oh, my God. Circulation. That was ridiculous, Mary. That was so funny. All right, hold on.
We had an email from Taylor Johnson.
I got all the stuff. Hold on. We got a whole process.
Okay, well, you're the one with the broken headphone losing it over Dobby.
Well, it was wicked funny. What do you want me to do? All right, here we go.
Ah, Miles here.
All right, here we go. This one, I get the emails and questions here.
All right.
This one comes from Taylor. Taylor says, Mary.
Mary?
If you were to make a spell, what would it be for? Love the podcast.
Oh, thank you, Taylor.
Taylor, thank you so much.
Blake,
Mary,
do you have an answer first?
I do. If I were to make a spell, it would be for all the cat litter and all the dog poop to go away. The amount of poop I touch on a weekly basis
rivals that of Grover and Percy Jackson episode 3.
Oh my God. It needs to go away. It needs to go. I wish it could just evaporate.
You know, I may double that as my wish as well, because the poop is Blake's job. So when I see the poop there, ooh, it's not good.
Marvin, you are more than welcome to help with the cat litter.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I remember that being a contingency when we got the cat.
When we first got cats, and then I was pregnant.
I agree.
A lot.
But
for years.
But you're no longer pregnant. That's
I bought the automatic cat litter thing, and you won't plug it in.
I understand. I hear
anyway,
you.
Anyway, Taylor, that is the answer. Cat litter disappear spell, as you can see. That's all the Larsons want in this world. Not world peace. Not hunger.
No.
Not for the weather to be sunny, even though I would appreciate that, but for cat litter to disappear.
Yes, please. Have it all disappear.
Poopy cat litter. Pee cat litter. All of it. Or just train the cats to use the toilet.
Oh, man. All right. Here we go. The next one comes from Joanne. She says,
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Mary and Blake. So I've been listening to your podcast for 2 years now. I spent the first couple of months catching up because you are in book 4 when I first started to listen. Or maybe it was book 3. I can't remember. Either way, I was telling my family about it over Christmas. My oldest daughter, who is age 23, made a point that I wanted to mention. I was telling them at how you all to refer to the author as the author. And maybe I missed it in one of your episodes, but my daughter said they really missed an opportunity in not calling her she who must not be named.
Oh, wow.
My question is, have you referred to the author in this manner and I've just forgotten? There have been a lot of episodes to this point. And if not, despite it being a mouthful, why not? Thanks. Keep up the great work. Joanne from North Billerica, Massachusetts.
North Billerica.
Your cousin from Boston.
No, I don't think we ever referred to the author as that. If so, maybe it would have been in episode 1.
Yeah.
We actually would have never thought of that as a name, as we have an ex-friend in our life
That's
who
true.
We refer to as she who must not be named.
Yes.
Because she's as scary as Voldemort. Oh, God. she was a scary person.
She can be scary.
Yeah. So that is why. That if Blake and I had to keep using she who must not be named.
We would keep associating the two.
Yes.
Which it's neither here nor there.
Anyway.
Okay. Anyway, that is what it is.
But we do utilize that phrase
in our
repertoire.
Personal lives.
Yes.
Yes. This one comes from David. David says, Hey, Mary and Blake, I finally caught up to you live and
Hi,
I freaked
David.
Out with the most cheesy of grins.
Tell us.
When you answered my email
Aww.
And read it. But I also died laughing when you guys talked about fat friends because, you know, we all have those.
Yep.
Also, I wish more people in the world would be open to other people's opinions and be okay if I have a different opinion and in the middle. But I love listening to you guys. You make my work day amazing. Again, I'm a truck driver who delivers food and stuff to restaurants.
Aww,
and you make each stop and the drive from stop to stop much better.
I'm so glad we
Thanks.
Get to help bring you joy on your stops.
Yes, yes. Well, David, I do want to say that is the... In my opinion, the ability to have a conversation, that is one of the founding principles of the United States of America. We need to have conversations and give differing opinions.
And learn
if you will.
To listen.
That's true. I agree. What'd you say?
Learn to listen.
What?
Your headphones still broken?
This one comes from Valdis. They say, Hey, Mary and Blake. Valdis, a proud Gryffindor from Iceland.
Yeah!
Here. All right.
Our little lass actually just wrote on her 2024 resolutions that a place she'd like to visit is Iceland. I thought she was going to put like Maine, yeah. Florida, Iceland.
Nope, Iceland.
Goals.
Longtime Harry Potter fan, just started listening to podcasts in general about a month ago. But I found the Potterverse about 3 weeks ago and finally caught up and became a member of the Nerd Clan.
Oh my gosh, thank you!
You were talking about tattoos a while ago, and I thought that was fun because I'm scheduled to get a Wingardium Leviosa tattoo in a week. I'm a CrossFitter. CrossFit? Well, yeah, either way. So naturally, I will put it on my bicep. Hashtag lifting.
Nice.
Anyway, just wanted to tell you that you make my day every time I listen. Aww. I cannot wait to watch you live from now on whenever I'm able
to do so. Well, we're going to be going live more often, and hopefully aligns with the Icelandic time zone.
Yes.
As we are on the eastern side of the U.S., so it's pretty close.
This one comes from Sophia. She says, hello, Mary and Blake. Did you know that there is approximately 600 students at Hogwarts School? And, you know, just to let you know, I love the podcast. Thank you so much. And I've listened to all of your Potterverse episodes for so many times, I've lost count. Thank you from 11-year-old listener, Sophia.
Hi, Sophia, and thank you so much. And 600 sounds just about right. Still, though, who are these other kids that Harry and Ron and Hermione never talked to?
Good, especially if they're all full of JFFs.
As someone who was voted the most friendly in her senior class,
oh my God.
I would have made sure that they were all mentioned. And if the book was named Mary Larson.
No, thanks.
And the Sorcerer's Stone.
All right, this one comes from Tiffany. She says, about a week or so before Thanksgiving, I found your Potterverse podcasts. Thank you. I have to say I'm absolutely enjoying them. I just made it through chapter one of The Goblet of Fire. After not having read the Harry Potter books for years, Goblet of Fire is still my favorite of all of the books. I'd forgotten that Blake has never read this book, and I'm excited to take this journey to find out what he really thinks about it. I know you've made it through this whole book already as far as where your episodes are now, but I still look forward to catching up with where you are now so I can sit in on some, if not all, of the following live shows.
Yay.
Hopefully I'll be caught up by the end of the year and can join you in the new year.
Love it.
I'd also like to add that because of your podcasts, I have finally decided to read through all of the books with my son and my husband.
Yay!
I'll be starting that in the new year as well. I'm really looking forward to that.
Love this
so much. I'm wondering if my favorite book will change my read-throughs.
It might.
Mine hasn't because...
We know, Blake.
Because it's... Anyway, thank you for sharing your love of Harry Potter with the world. Mischief managed, Tiffany. And P.S. Blake, Horcrux juice? LOL, I love it. Thank you for that. I'm not a drinker, but if that were ever invented, I would definitely have to try it. See you when I catch up.
Yay!
I totally want to make a drink now. It's called Horcrux juice.
Hey, you can do it tonight.
What color would you make your Horcrux juice? Yeah, it's got to be green, right?
Yeah.
Would you make it bubbly? Or would you make it like
I would make it one of those ones that like it's a big bubble on top and when you pop the bubble the steam comes out.
Oh yes, I love that idea.
I don't know how to do that.
Whatever, we'll figure it out.
But I've seen it on TikTok or something. So I want to give a thanks, of course, not only for our friends who've just emailed, and of course everyone listening, you can email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com so we can read your emails on the podcast. But we do want to thank our friends who have taken the time to write a review on Apple Podcasts. So wherever you listen to us, maybe you watch us live on Facebook or YouTube, or maybe you listen to us through Stitcher or one of the many
Stitcher anymore.
Sorry, I always say Stitcher, but I mean Spotify. Or one of the many podcast apps. Of course, reviewing us and rating us in that particular app is important, but out of all of the podcast apps, if you have the time to head on over to Apple Podcasts to leave us a written review, 5 stars is awesome too. But if you take the moment to write a sentence or two, that goes so far.
Yeah.
It first and foremost brings Blake and I the most joy, and it's like a hug each time we read one. But also this helps in the algorithm so more people can find the Potterverse podcast. So if you haven't yet taken the time and you find yourself with 2 minutes to spare, head on over to Apple Podcasts, search the Potterverse to leave us a written review. And I want to thank Monkeys0818, who said, I love listening to y'all. Y'all are hilarious. I love Mary's different perspective. Thank you for
y'all.
Can you
do this in a southern accent?
From Tiffany, a proud Hufflepuff.
Oh, okay. A Hufflepuff.
A Hufflepuff. Yes, Blake.
That's great. I love that for you.
I do too. All right. So that was it.
All right. You ready to close this bad boy out?
I am.
Let's do it.
We want to thank you all so incredibly much for tuning into this episode of the Potterverse. But Blake and I want to let you know about a brand new podcast episode that is coming to you fresh from MaryandBlakeMedia.com. And if you're a fan of Harry Potter, you may also be a fan of the Percy Jackson series. So the Percy Jackson book series has been out for quite some time, and it actually just came out as a new show on Disney Plus.
Yes.
So our son, Reese, who is a 10-year-old fifth grader who's been reading the Percy Jackson series, is actually co-hosting this podcast along with me. So what we would love is for you to check it out. It's called the Percy Jackson Prophecy Podcast. You can search it in your podcatcher of choice, wherever you find the Potterverse. It's going to be there too. I will say that there is not a video component to it. So if you're looking for videos of us actually like on screen talking, you're not going to see that. Mm-hmm. And that's on purpose. I want to have a little bit of mystery when it comes to our little lad at such a young age, but he is excited to be delving into the world of podcasting. So if you yourself or someone you know likes Percy Jackson, we would really, really love for you to check out the podcast and also give us a rating and review in Apple Podcasts as well.
That'd be awesome.
All right. On that note, my name's Mary.
My name is Blake.
Mischief managed.
And I have bad circulation. That is awesome.